Hey Danny, how you doing, man?
Hello, Lewis. We're back again for another podcast on stuff.
Yes, we most certainly are.
Yeah, it's BCS, Better Call Saul.
Yep.
Series 5,
episode 6.
I really rehearsed that one, that opening.
I can tell, yeah. You sat up all night looking in the mirror doing it, yeah.
Yep, exactly. It was a lot of pressure, but I made it. This episode is called Wexler v. Goodman.
Indeed. Ooh. It is.
And it was written by Thomas Schnauz.
Okay.
Yep, you got that? You got that one?
I've got that down, yep, I've written it down, don't worry. I know there's going to be a quiz in a minute, so I've made sure to write that down.
Yes, exactly. And it was directed by... drum roll, because I'm definitely not Googling.
No, I refuse to give you a drum roll. We're going to sit in silence while you Google this.
Just saying. Michael Morris!
Very good. Thank you for your contribution, Michael Morris. We apologise that Danny is such a disrespectful human being.
I actually had it written down. I was just like, yeah, let's pretend that I didn't for comedy. So, it's starring Bob Odenkirk, Jonathan Banks, Ray Sehorn, Giancarlo Esposito, Tony Dalton, Michael Mando, and Patrick Fabian, as usual. So, have you got an opening statement, Lewis?
I do. The dial gets turned up on the pressure cooker. It's intense, and I am into it.
Boom.
Boom.
Yeah. Wow. I was certain that it was over for the two of them, and yet Slippin' Kimmy has slipped too far. Lalo is now in jail, and Gus has him in a chokehold. Some different choices are now going to be made.
Ooh la la.
Yeah.
Well, one episode this was. Things are finally happening in a more dramatic way. Lalo gets probably arrested. We don't really see that, but probably arrested. Are Kim and Jimmy going to get married? What do we think?
Was that your opening? I thought you'd done it.
That was an opening step. We're now in CRQs. I was doing a seamless transition.
Oh. I thought you had a second opening statement prepared. Yes, as usual, I have disrupted the seamlessness of the podcast. But moving on, if we get past it to talk about, Lewis, save us.
I like the pasta to talk about. That's the big one. This one, we're going to talk about Better Call Saul and nothing but.
Yeah, fair enough. Well, let's get the big one out of the way. What did you think about the twist at the end?
I don't think Kim and Jimmy are going to get married.
Yeah, I mean,
I think that as much as either of them might want to, might think it's a good idea, I think both of them are sort of level-headed enough to realise that in practice it's not as good an idea as they want it to be, if that makes sense.
No, and if they do, it'll be very short-lived. Why is that happening?
Like, because they're getting married.
In the context of the scene, it just feels like completely out of the blue, doesn't it?
It really does, yeah. You get no sense that they've talked about it before, or...
Yeah,
it's just out
shocked.
Of nowhere. Yeah, totally.
What do you think the play is there? What do you think the motivation is?
I have no idea, because... The problem that Kim is having with Jimmy is because Jimmy is essentially the same person as her mother. The kind of manipulation and the slipping Jimmy type act, that is the exact same thing that her mother did at the start. It's this very sort of, I made these notes, it's this very sort of narcissistic, underhanded and unreasonable manipulation.
Yep.
Where it's making Kim feel like she's the bad guy, even though she's just an innocent bystander in a way.
Yeah.
If Kim and Jimmy had never met, Kim would be a very successful lawyer working with Mesa Verde and doing pro bono cases. But they did meet, and now she's been forced down this path. And Jimmy is manipulating her, even openly in that meeting, just being like, yeah, I want $4 million for my client.
Yeah.
It's ludicrous. Jimmy is losing himself in the world of being Saul. He doesn't respect Kim enough to try and have a conversation with her, try and make these things work.
Yeah, he's becoming sort of very... Heisenbergian, like, you
he
know,
is,
the,
yeah,
the,
yeah.
The sort of bullshit that Walt spewed, like, I did it for the family, I did it to protect you. And Jimmy's saying the same thing now. It's like, no, I didn't tell you because you have plausible deniability if I'm ever under oath. And Kim just sees right through it and is just like, what, that excuses you just, you know, turning me into another person that you've just bamboozled.
And it's the same with even the types of apologies that Jimmy's giving. I'm sorry, but, or I'm sorry that you feel this way. It's not an apology. It's a very strange way of manipulating the words and the facts and the.
Yeah.
At one point, I genuinely thought Kim was just going to smother Jimmy in his sleep that night.
She was rolling up her sleeves, and I thought, oh my god, is she going to punch him? Is she going to claw his face off? I don't know what's going to happen, but it's such a betrayal. It's like they two have like bamboozled other people, and now it's Kim
who, being the bamboozlee.
Yeah, she's been duped. She's been sold.
Yeah, yeah.
She's been jimmied, and it must be really like, embarrassing. It's like, why, you're not meant to do this to me? That's not the deal.
I think at this point it's almost like a reflex. This Saul Goodman persona is almost a reflex type action. Like was that bit where Kim said to him, I can't believe you because you don't even believe yourself.
Yeah.
But then is this that line from Breaking Bad? I once told a woman I was Kevin Costner, and it worked because I believed it.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? He hasn't quite made it to that point of autonomously being reflexive, if that makes sense.
Yeah, Jimmy has always had a way of being someone that he isn't, or lying to himself because of an underhanded sort of feeling. And as much of an arsehole as Chuck was, he's right. The last conversation that Jimmy had with Chuck was just like, what you do is you hurt people, and then there's this show of remorse, and Jimmy's like, it's not a show. And Chuck says, I know you don't think it's a show, I don't doubt your emotions are real, but in the end you're going to hurt everyone around you. You can't help it, so stop fighting it and just accept it, embrace it. And that's what he's doing, and Chuck was right. He went about proving that to Jimmy in the most horrible way that he possibly could, but he has a big point that Jimmy has the cycle of doing something because he thinks it's right or that it'll help someone else, and he just ends up hurting the people that he's trying to be noble to. It's very hard hitting.
It is very hard hitting, you're completely right. I have a question.
Go on.
Why is Mike back with Fring? Because at the end of the last episode there was that thing about there's a war coming and I need a soldier. That's not really enough to get Mike on side. What is Fring doing for Mike?
I feel as if the motivation makes sense, but I don't think they've fleshed out enough. Look, Mike, sure. Mike understands what it means to be in need of vengeance, and they share that sort of common goal, and plus Mike's had previous with the Salamancas, so it, you know, maybe that ties into, well, I didn't get to kill Hector because Gus stopped me, but now I can try and do more damage now because it's a war essentially. And Mike, I think, realises that I can either go back to what I'm doing or try and focus my rage and anger on someone that I despise, and Lalo's the person to do that to.
Sure.
But there needs to be a couple more conversations about it. I don't think it's hit home enough for, you know, supreme loyalty to this man.
I tell you what I was quite impressed by in this episode. Even Mike sort of did a bit of the patter to Lillian at the library. It was a bit of, like, he was completely not Mike at all. It was, oh, my granddaughter's going to love these books and all that sort of stuff. He's being completely nice to her. He's mentioning his granddaughter. He's buying those books and saying, they're only a quarter each. Wow, that is being really indulging this because he sort of knows that, that she's responsible for these books, probably.
Yeah.
So, or at least somebody in the library is. So he's like, oh, but this is a really great initiative. I love what you've done. Wow, wow.
The PI name that he uses, Dave Clark, is used in Breaking Bad as well.
Oh,
he
is it?
He uses that same name, yeah. Which is a nice wee sort of... The continuity in this show is just great. There's always there's always just tiny wee things that just add to the world building. I love it.
I do like that everything Mike does is, like, practiced. Like, he was very practiced in saying, call this officer, this detective even.
Yeah.
Tell him this exact thing, but, you know, don't mention me. The private the police don't let private detectives get in on it, and all this stuff. But at no point did Lillian in the library have any reason to doubt him or question him or anything. It was just done.
Yeah, he gives an explanation to every single lie that he tells, which is why it's so hard to sort of disprove him. And Saul and Mike both do that on a regular basis. And that's, I think that's like the theme of the show. It's like spinning stories to unwitting people. It's just that constantly. Specifically when it comes to tormenting Howard this season, Jimmy likes spinning some some stories. That was such an interesting point, I sneezed.
I'm allergic to really well-made points.
That was what did you think of that?
It's genius, but it's ridiculous.
Oh, it's
so
ridiculous.
It's, the reason it's kind of brilliant is because no matter how much Howard says, no, they're not my prostitutes, no one will believe him.
Yeah.
He can say that till he's blue in the face, but everyone will be like, yeah, we believe you, mate, but, you know, we know you really have been hiring these prostitutes or whatever.
The optics are just impossible to just deny. It's like,
yeah,
you know,
yeah.
These two hookers come in and say your nickname, and then, like, you know, J-Dog ain't happy. We need our money. Oh, I feel a bit bad for Howard. I really do. Like, he's had his car destroyed. You know, he's still waiting for that. I know, and whether Jimmy accepts the offer. And I saw in the preview for the next episode, and it's Howard coming up to Jimmy and going, so, any more thoughts on the job? It's just, how has he not realised by this point that this is Jimmy doing this? It's like none
of this
has happened
before.
If he's
a clever lawyer, he probably should have figured it out. Yeah.
Yeah, it's never happened before in his life, and then suddenly he offers Jimmy a job, his car gets wrecked, and two hookers come up to him in a restaurant, and he's still going, so, any more thoughts about the job?
Like, what a guy, what a guy.
Yeah, God.
By the way, I know I've been praising Mike a bit heavily this episode, but I really liked the post-it. It was, I thought this might be interesting to you or whatever it was. Officer, and he just like made a vague name-shaped scribble. It's just little things like that that are just brilliant.
Yeah, I can't even read that. And it's Officer McWhat? Oh, I can't even read that. And they just blow off as if it's just, oh, I'll find out who it is sooner or later. Mm. And then they never will. As another wee throwback to Breaking Bad, the detective who's at his desk talking about the stuff under the porch while
it's
he's
probably
giving...
a pass.
Yeah, he's in Breaking Bad as well.
Oh, is he? Nice.
Yeah. So nice wee throwbacks. We're connecting the world a little bit more. It's getting closer and closer. Mm-hmm. It's nice to remind us. I want to go back to what the marriage proposal was about.
Okay.
Now I think that it's got something to do with couples or married couples not being compelled to testify against each other.
Oh, I hadn't even thought about that, but yeah, maybe.
Because that is a thing in the US, and I can't pretend that this is my own thoughts. This is like a number of people have speculated this, and I think on its own it doesn't really make sense, because it's like, why would Kim do that? And I think that it's a mixture between her attraction to Jimmy and at the point where it's like, look, I really like you. In fact, no, I love you, and you're not going to change. So if you're going to keep going the way you're going, I want basically to be unaffected by it. I don't want to be dragged into whatever it is that you're doing. And she's, maybe this is a compromise, maybe it's like, well, you can still do what you're doing, but I don't have to sort of be involved and leave you. I thought that was maybe the angle they're going for, but I could be wrong.
It's, I understand exactly what you're saying. I think it's a combination of those things, and also it's like, the reason that Kim is so afraid of this Saul Goodman persona is because Saul Goodman is obviously her mother. Like, I was talking about that earlier. It's that same type of emotional abuse, neglect type thing going on.
Definitely.
And she wants a concrete standard statement from Saul or Jimmy or whoever to say, no, behind all the persona, behind all the facade, I am still Jimmy McGill and I do still love you, sort of thing.
Yeah.
I think that's what she wants emotionally. But I think you are onto something with that. Married couples can't be compelled to testify against each other. Both of those are good ideas.
And that's the first flashback we've ever had with Kim in the entire show.
Which is insane.
Yeah.
It's the fifth season and it's the first ever flashback for this one character.
Yeah, it's mental. But it was so well done. It's just, it paints a picture completely. It's just the parallels are too hard to ignore. What about that conference scene?
Oh, the conference scene with the bloody advert as well.
Oh God!
Have you been in a Mesa Verde and felt the seen their black mold? You could be up for a lawsuit. Oh God!
And the constant yup, just every single point that Jimmy makes, just yup. Oh God! I was on the edge of my seat in that entire thing. I was like, oh my God, what's he gonna do? Who's Olivia Bitsui? And it's just this. And arguably, even though it's a horrible thing to do to Kim, if it was played in a sort of more sort of heroic context, we'd probably be rooting for Jimmy.
Yeah, we would be. Yeah.
What does he do? He keeps a man who's been living there for God knows how long in his home. He gives reparations to a Native American woman who was cheated by a large company. And a big guy who's got a lot of pride and doesn't really listen to anyone was sort of knocked down a peg. Now that could be like a classic, like 60s movie, like a black and white sort
of, completely,
you know, hero type movie. But because it's Better Call Saul, it's like, it's Jimmy again doing noble things, but in the most harshest of ways, and ending up hurting the people that he doesn't want to hurt. It's so. And at some point, he's not going to care anymore. And he's not going to care who he hurts. And that's, I think we're getting so close to that now. It's like, he didn't even think about Kim. He was just like, he was so ramped up with his thing with Howard that he was just like, yeah, hello, I'm Saul Good. And then that's him. He's been wound up to the point where it's like, no, I can't stop this now. It's too
late. Yeah. It's like he's sort of pursuing this bizarre dream of, like, it's like he latched onto this idea of doing this will help Kim and just ran with it. That was his moral justification for doing something that he was reflexively wanted to do anyway.
Yeah.
If that makes sense. Like, if you want to do something and somebody says, oh, hey, can you just do this thing? You'll do it quicker, maybe.
Definitely.
But I think screwing over a large corporation, well, it's not a large corporation, a big company like Mesa Verde, that's something that Jimmy would want to do anyway. So when Kim basically said, right, here's a free pass, I just want to fuck him over, he was like, right, well, I better get to work then. Do you know what I mean? He just took it and ran with it, and now he's got the momentum and he doesn't know where to go next.
That's why slipping Jimmy is such a good pejorative for him. Because once you slip, it's like, especially if you're on ice, it's hard to get back up. It's just it's easier just to let your body just keep slipping, and trying to get control can be difficult for a lot of people. So that's it's a good pejorative. So Lalo is now in jail.
Yeah, but so, I thought it was strange that Lalo fell into that trap so easily.
Yeah,
I know that it's like Nacho was a man on the inside, and Mike is like the god of preparation, but it felt strange that Lalo fell into that trap so easily. I mean, at first I was surprised. Is he going to risk a public shootout in the middle of the day with that gun and that officer in the car behind him? But it felt weird that Lalo just fell into that trap and was just like, ready to go.
I mean, we know that he's reckless because it was his murder at the end of season 4 of the Travel Wire guy that got him into that mess. So we know that he, as smart as he is, you know, Gus is playing chess and he's playing checkers almost.
Sure, sure.
So he's, you know, he's not afraid to get his hands dirty, whereas Gus is just a perfectionist and is really, really careful with what he does.
It's all business,
I get the feeling that this isn't the end for Lalo. Lalo's he's a thug, but he's smart. You know, he's a pretty smart dude. And I think what's going to happen is Jimmy's going to be forced to make a choice. And I think this is where we'll see Jimmy's great fear of Lalo in Breaking Bad, where he's so thankful that it's not Lalo's men and two other hitmen that have got him. He's just like, oh god, a mate, oh thank god. Despite the fact there's a fucking grave in front of him. So I think we're going to get to see a bit more of that.
Yeah, I think so too.
And I think Jimmy will be probably Lalo's lawyer, I would imagine.
I wouldn't be surprised.
Yeah.
Because he's had dealings with Lalo before, earlier in the season even.
Yeah. So, oh, I don't know. I don't know where they go. They keep subverting expectations. I thought, you know what, Wexler v. Goodman, that's it. They're done. It's over. And then suddenly, nah, keep going.
I know. I'm so invested in this show. At this point, I'm really invested in everything that's going to happen. Like, I want to know what happens with Kim and Saul. And it's weird. Like, when you're reading a book and there's two plot lines that are happening at the same time.
Yeah.
And you have one that you think, oh, I can't wait to finish this bit of this chapter and get back to the other plot line, as it were.
Yeah, definitely.
With this, I'm engaged in both plot lines. And I really want to see when they sort of meet and come together in the finale or the next series or whatever. I'm super invested.
We've had an episode called Something Beautiful. We've had an episode called Something Stupid.
Right.
Where it marks sort of a bit of Kim and Jimmy separation, like a year passes in that episode, and they become evidently a bit more distant and a bit more unsure of each other.
Sure.
And the last episode of this season is called Something Unforgivable.
Ooh la la. So I reckon
that sounds really fucking ominous, doesn't it? It's just some major shite is going to go down.
I want to say that Jimmy's going to kill someone, or Jimmy's going to cause someone to have been killed or something, but I can't see that happening, not now.
Yeah, but I don't know. I think they're going to pull it out of the bag and it's going to make sense. I trust them maybe a bit too much, but I do, they haven't let me down before. So I'm giving them the benefit of the doubt and see what they come up with.
I think I've run out of notes, to be honest with you.
Well, I've got one more crucial note.
Hit me with it.
Do you think Mike will help Nacho get out of the business?
Oh, I want to say yes, because it's sort of, and Nacho is a representation of Mike's worst fear in a way.
Yeah.
Mike's worst fear is that his granddaughter will get sucked into this world through no fault of her own.
Yeah.
And he, everything he does is to try and prevent that. And Nacho's entire life is protecting his father, who has been sucked into this drug world through no fault of his own.
Definitely.
I can't help but think that Mike might perhaps see some of himself in Nacho or something like that and just try and help.
Yeah.
But I think it would be very, very Breaking Bad if the help just failed. Gus found out anyway and just killed Nacho and his father. I wouldn't be surprised if that was the case.
Whatever the show becomes, it can end on a happy note. It has to end badly. Because we know it does. We know it ends badly because where Saul and Gus and all that end up. It's not, at the start of it, it's just these horrible people that Walt hooks up with. That's where they have to be. And then they need to get a move on.
They need to get it there, yeah.
Yeah. Other than that, I think I'm out of notes.
Well, there we go then, eh? Have you got a closing statement for us?
I do.
Good stuff.
A head scratcher that had me breathless every step of the way. I have no clue what's going to happen. We see from the flashback that Kim has the ability to walk away from someone that she loves but will hurt her. But I think she will realise this too late with Jimmy. This is amazing, and I can't wait to see what happens next.
Couldn't agree more. I didn't even read into that thing about Kim walking away, because I presumed Kim was walking away from the car, but to her mum's house, in a way. So, yeah, she's walking away from the bad situation, but she still have to go home to it, sort of thing.
That's another excellent point. I never thought about that. I just read it as, oh, okay, so she can say no to someone who's clearly bad for her, but she's still going back to the place. You know, it's like giving Jimmy a telling off at court and then returning to his soul-like ways at the apartment. It's like you're sort of doing a short-term solution to a big long-term problem.
My closing statement is Jimmy and Kim will never last. It's a toxic relationship. Well, the thing is, it's not a toxic relationship. Jimmy and Kim is a good relationship, but Kim and Saul is a toxic relationship.
Yes.
And it's about can Jimmy flip between Jimmy and Saul, or is he just going to end up as Saul forever, sort of thing?
Yeah.
It's made more unsustainable, Kim and Saul relationship is made more unsustainable by Kim's past. Lalo will almost certainly fall into Mike's trap, as everyone would. Mike is the guy!
He certainly is. One thing I wanted to point out, see after Chuck died at the end of season 3?
Yep.
Season 4, season 5, at least one person has said, fuck you, Jimmy. Howard said it in season 4 when Jimmy was like, oh, get over your grief of Chuck and all that, and just basically was like, oh, I don't care. And Howard was like, fuck you, Jimmy. And then Kim just, oh, see when she said it, I got goosebumps. She was just like, fuck you, Jimmy. It's amazing. Ray Sehorn deserves a fucking Emmy for her performance as Kim.
She's damn good.
It's so subtle and it doesn't go over the top and it's so nuanced. But when she's angry, you know she's angry. She came into that apartment with the wallpapers hiding Lewis. It was the inanimate room was screaming. But anyway.
Anyway, yes, I think that's everything. Do we need to do some shilling?
Yes, we do. I'm on Instagram at O'Hiram. I'm on Facebook at Daniel Kerr. I'm on Twitter at Kerzo2000. What are you on, Lewis?
I am on Instagram at Lewis_Brindley. I am on Twitter at Lewis_Brindley4. And I have a Facebook page called Lewis Brindley.
Yeah. The podcast is hosted by Podomatic. We're on Spotify. We're on Apple Podcasts. We have a YouTube channel. We're on Deezer. We have a PayPal donate button. We have a Patreon.
If you like our stuff, go and check us out.
Definitely.
Anything will go a long way. We love making this podcast, and it'd be great to be paid for that.
Definitely.
But obviously, this is a crazy trying time. Please think about your families and your friends first.
If you can't do it, so good, man.
Yep. So good, man. I do see that. Yeah, that was fantastic.
Clever.
I think you should get an Emmy for that one joke.
Oh, aye. The Scottish Emmys. It's just a twig with a smiley face on it. But anyway.
It's Mr. Nailfingers.
Yeah. Remember that? Oh, God. Oh. The nostalgia.
Indeed. Thank you very much for listening to this podcast. We'll be back next week for Better Call Saul Series 5, Episode 7. I have no idea what it's called, but I'm sure it's called something.
It's called JMM, which is in reference to Jimmy's briefcase, which was going to be James Morgan McGill, but he sort of went off the fly and went, it means justice matters most.
Ah.
So I think justice isn't really going to matter in that episode, Lewis. I don't know what's giving me that hint, but I think that's what's going to.
Yeah.
I think they're going to play in that a little bit, but we'll see. We'll see.
Yes, thank you for listening.
Yes, thank you for listening, and we shall listen here. See you next week.
Good stuff.